Thank you. Well, it's great to be with you today, the last two nights as well, and I'm excited. Love the worship. Snuck up next to Mark and I said, there's such an anointing here. I know that when it happens is when you can hardly breathe and you just want to burst out crying just because of his presence, and I know that's what God does for me anyway. For you, you might do handstands and swing up on a hoop here, but just knowing certain indications of God's presence. I have so enjoyed being with you and loving your response to the Word of God and just coming up and chatting to me and just saying what you've sensed, and also being with Mike and Deb, just talking in their lounge around the breakfast table today and many other days, and just connecting again with a good friend that, as he said, we've known each other for a long time. And my wife is in Reading. She's probably in the Bethel Church service this morning. Our son is a revival pastor there, second year doing this. And Monday I head down to join up with him and celebrate Christmas with our daughter, who's married to Peter, and just spend time with them, heading home about the 27th of December. Been in USA and Canada for about 3 months on this trip. It's a test run for us to check endurance, stamina, and God is good, and still standing up. So, yeah, when you do what God wants, He makes that happen. And so, during the prayer meeting, Mike read a scripture, 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 4, and we're going to start off there. And I went up to him and said, you know what, that's exactly what I'm going to be talking on today. So often we think, Mike's in tune. No, it's the other way around. I'm in tune with Mike as pastor of the church as to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. So for me, that's a valuable connection of knowing that I'm in tune with what's happening here. And so we're going to talk about on that. And my title today is The Outsiders. So we often think, so does that mean that I'm outside of what God's doing? No, you're inside what God's doing, but we need to go outside to tell them what God's doing. And because of evangelism, and that's how we received, I'm received in here as an evangelist, as per the advert, my commission is to equip you to begin to do what God has called you to do. And that is, an evangelist comes in, he causes the church to be revived, excited about the Word of God, so that you do evangelism. What often is thought is that evangelist comes in, he gets everybody saved, you sit back, say thank you, and you carry on flatline in your Christian walk, expecting these guys to do what they're supposed to do. A prophet comes in and prophesies and gives you direction. You're all excited. But no, here, a prophet is to come in and equip you to begin to understand how to walk in that gifting so that you become empowered in the gospel to go and do what you are called to do. Sheep give birth to sheep. Shepherds manage the sheep, watch over the sheep, and care for the sheep. But it's us to go and do the work. When I was saved over 40 years ago, in the military, which I'll share about tonight, my passion was to go and visit the people who got saved on Sunday. Tim Salmon, who was the man who was our pastor at the time, I'd phone him up in the laboratories where I was working, doing medicine. And I said, hey, Tim, is there any guys you want me to visit on the way home? And he said, yeah, sure, there's this couple and that couple. Give me the address. And so I was on my motorcycle, went home and visited them. At about 8 o'clock, I phoned him up and said, done and dusted. These guys, they're doing this and they're doing that. And he said, geez, I don't know how to handle you because you just want to do what the work of God does. I have no one else like this in the church. I wish there were more like that. And I said, what? Isn't this the gospel? And so I'm not trying to elevate myself, but the response that he gave me, I thought, what? What about the other guys? Are they doing this? No, because I think what happened for me was that if this is real, then we need to do it. And I started doing it from day zero. Saved and started doing it. And as a result of that, you know, when God sees you faithful in doing the small things, He adds a little bit more and a little bit more to where He can trust you. And then He gives you gifts. He gives you the anointing. And you start having a greater influence and impact because you're intimate with him and he begins to work. And so I thought this was standard. Three weeks saved, and we were running a life group or a home cell. Question, Kia, did you know what you were doing? Answer, no clue. But I was available. Big A on the chest, available. And I learnt on the hoof, as we say, as in doing it. 3 months saved, I went and did a crusade. Now, from home cell to crusade is massive. I paid for it. I printed the brochures because I buried a soldier who I led to the Lord the night before he got a bullet in his body, 2 of them, 1 in his head and 1 in his body. He was born again, but we buried him, and as I was one of the 6 carrying the coffins, military funeral, lowering the coffin into the ground, the Lord impressed upon me. I didn't know his voice that good. Impressed upon me, "Care, come back and tell them where he really is. They think he's in the ground, but he's in heaven with me." I said, "I got it, Lord. That's easy to say." And then I went into terrified mode. Me? I've never done a crusade. I've never preached public. I've only done home sallies, you know, little cuddle puddles. I've done all those things, muffin methods and marshmallows, and except for a few guys that come in with their knob carries, but home sell. And so I did. I was terrified. I listened to a cassette tape. You remember those things? Cassette tape. I burnt that thing out. Then I couldn't listen to it anymore, but I got it. Just listen to it. It just stretched. The guy was talking long and slow. I got the message, and all I did is when I stood on the platform, I just pressed play in my heart and just regurgitated, tried to preach word for word what he preached. I did. I stood up there. I was terrified. I did it because God said. And guess what happened? A whole lot of people got saved. The room was packed. We had the Dutch Reformed, the Presbyterian Church lining up at the back in their suits. It was a Sunday, late morning. And so people got saved. I was excited. This is what the church is about. People coming out of the darkness into the light, getting the revelation of the Word of God. And then people came up for healing. And you know, I was in the army then, so it was very easy to call people, because when you've unschooled in church life, you come out of the world, you come out of the army, and you still think you're in uniform, although you're dressed like this. So when I said to those of you that need to get saved, I said, "Hey, you guys that need to get saved, get up here now. Come on, get up here now." And so guys would come. And I said, "Any of you are sick here, get here and get healed. Come on, get here now, come on, stop playing around." And the pastor was withering in the seat and saying, "Shh, calm down." I said, "No, this is the kingdom. This is the power. Come on." And what happened was that day, that 3 weeks saved, 3 months saved, a woman over here gets healed of diabetes. She tells me a month later, "Hey, Kia, thanks for laying hands on me. I had diabetes, but now I don't have it." And I said, "What? You healed?" And 2 things happened. I was extremely excited that God was healing people still. And I was extremely humble that it was my hands and I'm nothing and God used me. And those 2 things are so valuable to carry and know. And so as a result of that, this whole gospel message to me is so exciting. And as a result of those things, I think it's just that we, Kelly and I, my wife and I, have just walked in this expecting you to do the same and be the same. No pressure. But that's the gift that we are. That's, I think, what we carry. We want to excite you into that kind of thing. And so that's why Mike and Debs and the eldership team here have asked me to come in to impart that to you. And I pray that you capture this and become dangerous in Nainamo and look for people that are just saved and you go and encourage them and say, "This is that which you said on Sunday." Romans 10, 9 and 10, heart and mouth is believing and confessing. Therefore, there's righteousness and salvation in what you say and in what you believe. And it comes out of the heart, not the head. So much of our Christianity is so academic. We so want to get information. And when you get information, you become stagnant. You become constipated Christianity. Sorry about that word. But you become so bloated in information, there's no action. You're so overweight with information. You need to stay skinny, slim down, and an athlete in Christianity to hear and do, We don't get stuck in here, 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 and just become immovable, unexcitable. How are you doing today? Fine, brother. Are you happy? Absolutely. Are you going to lift your hands in praise and worship? I'll pray about it. You see, you kind of that thing. That is so information-centered. But when revelation comes in your heart, you cannot stay silent. You can't stay quiet. You are a bomb waiting to explode. So I'm coming to the scripture. Maybe you want to get saved, get saved. And that means you're going to come to the front and we're going to get you right with God. And if you're a visitor, welcome. You're here for such a time as this. Now, those who brought visitors, I applaud you. Seriously, you're the heroes. Do it again. So Mike and I were sitting on the veranda, his veranda deck. Yeah, deck. So I'm Canada now. And we heard a rifle range, I think it was, guys shooting rifles. And we were sitting there, and we kind of stopped a moment, and suddenly there was an odd big boom, and then the other things, and other shots. And they were rifles, because I know the sound of a pistol, it's a crack. Rifle is a pretty average sound. When a shotgun goes off, you know it's a little different. And any caliber bigger than that, it would be a whole different noise. And I was just thinking this. When we first got saved, or put it this way, I trained my wife to use a .32. It's a handgun. The barrel's about that long, 4-inch barrel. She got used to it because we were in the war zone back there in Africa and 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I had an AK-47. I had three of them. Two of them I took off people. The other ones was an issued one. I had an R4, which is a 7.62 NATO FN Fabric National issue that was standard. Sorry, ladies. Yeah, the microwave, you know. So I'll talk. Okay, so I'm talking about different size microwaves, okay? A 32 is a small microwave. Just an egg goes in. But I'm talking about bigger microwaves, so you kind of got the concept. So when I say a 22 millimeter, that's like half your kitchen's taken up by that thing. 22 millimeters, big, and it is a big weapon. And so we were trained on these .32s, which is just bigger than, it's an egg size. You get a 9mm, which is probably the size of a banana. You know, I'm just, so what you're doing is you're training yourself on certain weapons. And I think Christianity is very much the same, because when you get saved, you get, okay, I've got this little thing that makes a noise. I'm hearing the word of God. It's attracting my attention. It has devastative consequences to the devil, but it sets us free, and we're able to use it. Then you go on through up until where you start getting what we call bullets, which is what comes out the barrel of a weapon. And depending on the caliper, it depends on the effect it has in what it hits. The bigger the caliber, the more devastating the hit. Small caliber, you can get up and run until about 10 of those things go in you, then you slow down and fall over. Small caliber. But you get the bigger ones, 7.62 standard round, get one of those, you don't get up very quickly. And depending on where it hits you, you don't get up. But when you get a 22 millimeter, you don't exist when that thing hits you. And the reason why when a 22 millimeter bullet this size compared to a .22, when that thing hits you, it has a high explosive head. When it hits something, it explodes. So it comes out the barrel, hurtles down space, hits the target, and it explodes. It's like a launched grenade. Now, in Christianity, when we come into the kingdom, we are .32 caliber Christians. We are learning how to use this little thing. It's very small. It has limited capacity. But as you go on in Christianity, and as you learn the kingdom of God, and that your enemy is not your neighbor, your enemy is not your pastor, the enemy is not the church, the enemy is not anyone around you, even a sinner. The enemy is the devil. And the devil causes one thing in your life. He causes you to remain in unbelief in the word of God. That's his ability. What he did in the Garden of Eden was to get you, or get Adam, questioning God's word. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest,
to destroy the works of the devil. He can't destroy the devil, but he destroys the works. And this gospel is that message which brings you back to what Jesus wanted us, what God wanted us to do, is to believe the word of God. Amen. Unbelief in the word of God is S-I-N, sin. Stop it now. Come back to faith. And the weapon that we have is the word of God. They are the bullets that we should have. They should have us. They should keep us. It's not there to destroy us. We don't fire at each other. We fire at the enemy. But the bullet, the word of God, the power of God has a potential in it. The word has a potential to deliver what it comes to you for. So I'm going from a negative to now what the word of God does to us. The word of God does two things. It sets you free and brings you out of what you're in into something. It brings you into something. The word of God, we sometimes think, depending on how much faith we have, is just 0.32 caliber to us. Or those of us who have great faith, it's 22 millimeter caliber. In other words, when that word comes to us, it releases in us what it carries. Doesn't destroy us, but releases life. And that life of faith is destruction to the works of the devil because it brings you out of negativity into positivity. Negativity brings the positive into it. The horizontal, negative, mundane life, when God's vertical revelation comes to you, you have a different horizontal mission. Vertical revelation determines horizontal mission. When you don't have vertical revelation, you don't have horizontal mission. In fact, your horizontal mission of what you believe about church and life doesn't help anybody. So when this comes, it happens. So I want to tell you what this word of God does. The word of God is explosive. It's powerful. The entrance of your word gives light. We looked at that these last two nights. The entrance of your word gives light. The unfolding of your word gives light. When that 22 millimeter hits any object, it unfolds itself and delivers what it carries. And when we have that kind of faith, knowing that what we say has power over life, we are in that heavy caliber mentality of faith that delivers people from bondage. We have little faith and we wonder if it's still working. We're still playing with a little handgun. No, these 22 mils that we had in the military, they had 7-foot barrels, 7 feet. So from a 4-inch to 7 feet, that is heavy. You cannot hold this thing, a 9 mil or a little 32, you can hold and you play with and you've got a it's like a little squirt gun. But this thing, you cannot hold it. No, it's not your ability. It's not your capacity. It's not your strength. But all you do is you aim it and you squeeze the trigger, this thing. And what happens is the rest happens. It's called God's power, God's anointing, God's releasing. And it's not to hurt people. It's to set people free. So I'm praying today that there's a calibration, recalibration. We call that recalibration, recapacity. Recapacitation. It's a whole new word. Recapacity in our lives. And that what you get a hold of in the word of God is increased faith. So here we go. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry as received mercy, we did not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Here's the verse. And even if our gospel it is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. We cannot see it, in other words. In whose case, those who are perishing and who's veiled, in whose case the God, small g, of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. There's a veil. We cannot see it. And you know what? The world, the outsiders, this is who they are. They cannot see it. But we do see it. Why? Because revelation comes. Revelation is for the heart. Information for the brain. Stay away from information. Let the revelation come. The CEB Bible, sorry about this, it says this. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are on the road to destruction. The God of this age has blinded the minds of those who don't have faith, so they couldn't see the light of the gospel that revealed Christ's glory. Christ is the image of God. We don't preach about ourselves. Instead, we preach about Jesus as the Lord, and we describe ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. Here's another translation, amplified, it's coming loud. But even if the gospel, in some sense, hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only to those who are perishing. Among them, the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving to prevent them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, let me just take Psalm 119, verse 130. We've got it before. When your word is unveiled, light shines forth. They bring understanding. It brings understanding to the simple. Message Bible. Every word you give me is a miracle word. It explodes within me. High capacity, high caliber. Another word. The entrance or the doorway of your words gives light. So if those who are veiled in darkness, how do they get out into the light? Answer, the word of God. Question, who has the word of God? Answer, you do. So my challenge is, what are you doing with the word of God? You know, most of us are trying to get out into the light so that we feel that we can do what we're supposed to do. We know the Great Commission is upon us. We know that we have been given the green light. It's never changed from green since Jesus said it. It's never gone amber or red. It's gone green. But we are at this place, most of us are saying, I know the light's green. I know I must go and win the lost, but I don't know if I can do it. Right? And so we say, can I do this? Do I have the ability? Absolutely. So I want to take us into the possibilities of doing this. Would you come with me to Isaiah 61? Or you can put your fingers in Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel or the good news. I want you to know the Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of God is upon you because. And there's got to be a because. The Spirit of God just doesn't come upon you when you're doing nothing. You want more anointing in your life. You want more power in your life. You've got to have a because. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because. Jesus stood up reading the same scripture that we're reading today. He says, guys, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because, watch what I do, basically. And what was it? To bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to freedom to prisoners. You just need to write down, circle, how many two. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me two. A whole lot of twos to do things, not just sit things, to do things. And I want you to notice in Isaiah 61, two things. To proclaim liberty to captives. Who are the captives? They are the people who've been hijacked, ambushed, pounced upon. You're going down your road normally, and suddenly they went from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves. Hello, that's the gospel of captivity. He was going from the presence of God to a war zone. That's Adam. That's Jesus. And he fell amongst thieves, and the thieves attacked him, steal, kill, and destroy, robbed him, beat him up, and left him half dead. That's the world today, right there, half dead, half alive. You got a choice, life or death. And here we are in this place right now. Choose. Choose life or choose death. Choose the gospel, choose where you're going. Stay blind. The God of this world is blinded. Stay with him or choose life. But we, most of us, have chosen this gospel. There's light in our hearts. We get it. We see what this whole thing is about. And here comes the Levite and the priest, the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. They can do nothing. They'll just tell you how bad you are and how wrong you are and which commandment you broke. And they walk by on the other side. They cannot get involved. The law cannot change you. It just tells you, sorry. On a scale of 1 to 10, you bust number 7 and number 5 commandment. I can't touch you. But here comes the Samaritan, the no-name brand, not a church position. He's the Good Samaritan, neither Jew nor Greek. He's like a mixed breed, comes up, and that's Jesus. He turns his back on Satan because he knows he has authority over him. He doesn't worry about the thieves. He turns his back on the thieves. He's got more to give this guy. He pours in the oil and the wine, salvation and healing. And you know, the whole story takes him to the end of the church, and he says, if there's anything more to pay, I'll pay it. In other words, it's by grace you live today. Captives. It's what's happened to you. And all of us sometimes get captivated by the wrong things. Or we captivate the right things. So I'm taking that. That's mine. It's called the anointing. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. It's called the power of God. Because you need that. I want that caliber. I want that gift. But sometimes we get captivated. And we are arrested. And every one of us in this room, we can say, yeah, we're probably in some of those things right now. But the thing of the gospel sets you free. Whom the Son sets free is free completely, not partially. And most of us, some of us think this, and I'm just generalizing, not in this room, but generalizing worldwide, that we just don't want to get out of it sometimes. You know, because when you're set free, some of us don't want to walk into that freedom because we are afraid of the unknown. I'd rather stay back and be a cool Christian and not really get involved with anything else. And there's a lot of those. But in my life and Kelly's life, we're saying, no, there's got to be more. I'm going to walk right into it. I don't understand it, but hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to participate. I'm going to let my brain catch up later because God, it's a good place to be at because the supernatural is more real than the natural. You really believe that? The supernatural, God is more real than what you look at. Catherine Coleman said that. God is more real to me than you standing in front of me. Why? Because she is aware of who he is. She's dialed into the supernatural. That doesn't mean to say that she's a real freaky manifestation thing. You know, a lot of the other things that happen in the spirit, sometimes we say, I don't want to be a part of that. You know what? I haven't seen a feather fall out of the sky in my Bible. I haven't seen gold dust come out of heaven at all. I'm not worried about that. Let it come, but I'm looking at him. And let the peripheries not control the central. And most of us, some of us here are saying, I'm dialing out of this. I'm not part of this because I'm so, all these weird people. You know what? Forget the weird. Don't look laterally, vertical revelation. Get the God in you. And it's all about him. And if I hear the ringing of the truth in my heart, I pursue my heart. Your head, let it look at all the left and the right and the gold dust and the feathers and barking dogs and wailing cats. That's not the issue, friends. Why stop at the natural when you've got the supernatural? I'm not angry. I love you guys. But I'm fed up with the church and how it behaves out there. Just get radical, man. Pick up something big. I want to pick up a 50 cal and shoot it from the hip like Rambo. I want to feel that boom. Because I know what's coming out has got weight way beyond that you realize. And that's the power of God. We are so playing around. There's more. When you walk into an area where there's demons everywhere, and you say to a man, I want to start a church here. And he says to me, we need to go and consult the witch doctors and we need to consult our ancestral spirits. You say, really? Don't you know who you're messing with, old man? You go and talk to them, but what's going to happen is the church is going to happen here. He wanders off and he comes back and says, okay, you can try. First night I preach on the Holy Spirit, nothing happens, like preaching to a brick wall. I'm alone with one interpreter in the Zambezi Valley, no one else around for 100 kilometers. And you know, you're confronting not flesh, you're confronting something else. So what do? You just back out and say, oh, maybe God, you don't want a church here. Or you just get out on the airstrip and you walk up and down there and just say, God, I'm here. Let's do something. And he says to you very clearly, Kia, don't talk about me. Show me. So I said, what do you mean, Lord? He says, no, just be there tonight. Just pitch up on duty. I'm going to be there. Be soldier online. I'm there with you. Okay. So how many of you here, starting that night, how many of you here are sick? There's a lady here with a soreness in the left knee. Would you come forward, please? God wants to heal you. So eight women come forward. You know, that's what it's like. Everyone comes forward. So God said, the left knee. So I could do the Christian thing, pray. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? No, he said, left knee, specific. Find your target. And if he says that, you do that, you see? You do that. So I go down and I stand next to the one lady. I said, you're the lady. I get down on my knees, feel her left knee. It's big, it's hot, infection, and it's swollen. Long story short, we pray for her. She gets healed. She's running in and out of the light, yalalating out there and coming back through here. And she's like, there's a dust trail and we're coughing. And then we got a riot because everybody wants to be healed. So now you're just doing this thing and praying and they all get filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues. That night, sitting next to the vehicle with Kachel Malotwa, he's in our book, talk about him. Sitting with him and we have tea, you know, very colonial type thing out there. It's about 9 o'clock at night and him and I are talking about the meeting. He's teaching me stuff and I'm talking to him. And suddenly this guy comes out of the bush, a black man, big guy with a white shirt in his hand and he's running. I thought actually what happened is that the people there, they corral, they put their cattle in pens at night so that the animals don't attack them and they know whose cows are in the pen. And then about half past six in the morning, they let them out and take them and feed them in the bush out there on the herdsman, take them out. So I thought this noise that was coming down the road to me was a cow. And I thought, sitting there next to Kachel, I'm thinking, okay, so this guy hasn't put his ox in the pen and he's chasing it and it's bellowing out there. Then I'm sitting there and the Spirit of God says, yeah. That's not a cow, it's a demon and it's heading your way. So I thought, okay. So I stand up straight away. Here comes this guy with his shirt up, running towards me, bellowing me. And he says in English, who are you? I am the one here. Who are you? So I stood up and said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm here to plant a church. Who are you and you? And I started talking to him. He stops instantly in his tracks. Police come out, they arrest him because we camped at the police station, which is, I took him and put him in jail. We sat down, carried on with our tea. See, what happened? You got saved the next day. You got saved in the cell. He was speaking in tongues the next morning. So prison is good for some people. They come out different. But what is that? It's that thing. The devil says you can't set my people free. The outsiders. Friends, you think that's exciting? That is exciting. That's the story that's told now from what happened then. And there is a church there now. See, God has his ways. You don't have to be in Africa to do that. To set the captives free and freedom to the prisoners. What they have done, prisoners, they are guilty, judged, condemned, sentenced, jailed. So you've got two things. To set the prisoners free, those who are locked up and guilty of sin in this world, the gospel is for you. Those who are sinners, who are, know that they are guilty. You feel guilty. You feel that you cannot be set free. But we have a key that unlocks that door, the key of the gospel, the key of the power to combination to set you free. The door opens that you come into salvation. And the captives who are Christians who are held up. Look at Luke 4:18. We just want to go there. There is a word change there. Okay, got there, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Exactly the same as Isaiah 61. The next verse is totally different. Instead of it saying to set the prisoners free, it says, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who are bruised. Recovery of sight to the blind, the prisoners. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 4, we read about the God of this world has blinded those that cannot see. So he says, I've come to set, to open the eyes of the blind. Jesus knew exactly what he was coming to do. In the process of opening the eyes of the blind, the prisoners are set free. Friends, captives and prisoners captives and blindness. People are in this world who are totally blind to truth, blind to this gospel. And when I understood this and saw this, I thought, okay, Lord, so everything you did that we talked about the first night, Matthew 4:23, 9:35, everything he did is that he began to open the eyes of their heart, began to open the eyes of their understanding so that they can see it and respond to it. You cannot respond to what you cannot see. That's called salvation. That's called the gospel message to the town. So our job in evangelism is speaking this word in such a way that people's eyes are opened out there. It's not a method. It's not a prayer. It's a revelation of the heart. It's called a miracle. It's called a sign and a wonder. That's the way wonder about it. When they hear the word of the gospel, it causes them to wonder. And it points to Jesus. So what you need to do is just sow seeds. Pick up the caliber, eyes on target, engage. Not destroy them, but destroy the God of this world who keeps their minds from not seeing this truth. Everything that Jesus did, he opened their eyes. That's why he says, according to your faith, it's done. Do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord. It's done. It's done. And he all the time, he was asking them, what do you want me to do for you? I want to open my eyes, Bartimaeus, that I may see. Yes, according to, and is there anything else? You want me to open your eyes so that you can see truth? Yes, Jesus, and he's totally blind. And he's standing in front of Jesus, and Jesus still asks them the question. See, many of us come to church, it's like standing in front of Jesus, and he says, what can I do for you? Oh, Lord, I just need to go and pray about it. No, that's religion. Many of us come to church and we're sick and we're in body and we're in chronic medication and we are oppressed and we're having nightmares and we can't sleep and we've got headaches and we've got all these things that are listed in the Bible. What did Jesus do? He set you free from those because you are captivated by it. You're captured by this thing. And he unlocks that thing and sets you free by believing in the word of God. He sent his word and healed them. And sickness captivates you because you can't do what you can do. It holds you back. It says no. But the thing is this, the devil is so dumb and stupid because when you get healed, you've got something to say more than you had before. And one of the most powerful things is when you get healed is not to say, thank you, Lord, go home and go back to Christianity and normality, flatline, back home. No, you've got a testimony, friends. Get up and get out there and tell them at your work. I was this, now I'm here. Tell your friends why. It's testimony. What are you doing? You're shedding lights. You're opening the windows. You're opening the curtains and allowing the light of the gospel to come in to make them think and wonder and know what's going on. It's called evangelism. And we've made evangelism a title and a whole thesis. No, evangelism is normality. Yeah. It's normality. Yeah. It's normal Christianity. You can smile if you like. Yeah. You know, yeah. No, it's not. You know, that's the religious outlook. I'm trying to get it in my head. No, don't. Get it in your heart and, you know, smile. I am. I'm happy today. Okay, let me try and get into this now. So Luke 13, come with me there. Here is someone being set free. Here it is. I'm just going to pick on one. You can go through it. There are four areas in the Bible where they talk about blind eyes being opened. And each one of them, here's homework for you to go upon because if they're blind naturally, they're blind spiritually because Jesus says your faith heals you. And this gospel message of faith sets your heart free. You become born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, all things in you. He who knew no sin became sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He who knew no sickness, took sickness from you so that you could walk in perfect health. See, both happened at the cross. It's not yours. Get rid of it. Tell it to leave you. Evict it. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He is in you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You, the temple, you're walking temples, not church buildings. You, that's why the, yeah. So you have life. And if you think another thing can occupy you and take up space in there where the Holy Spirit wants to, guess what? That thing's going out. But sometimes we let it come in and we let it stay in. No, if he's a squatter in your house, a legal resident in your body, you, in the name of Jesus, as a Christian born again, blood-filled, pick up your weapon of the Word of God and say, in Jesus' name, get out of my life. Speak to those things. But we are happy to accommodate these things. No. You say, Kia, have you ever had this happen? Yeah, broken ankle. 3 days, it was totally healed. Totally. So how does that work? Faith, trusting God, walking through the pain, believing God's word, plaster cast on up to my knee, 7 days, seven weeks, you won't be able to function, sticks, excuse me, a rubber stopper and those things. I know you've got fancy things now, they're all plastic and everything else. And I knew I had to go to Mozambique. Oh, thanks, Mike. I had to go to Mozambique to speak to a whole lot of pastors, and the date was set. This happened. Went running with my son with a Rottweiler. Nice little thing. Chainsaw on stilts. Fell and hurt my ankle, and he laid hands on me, and I walked home, got into the swimming pool to calm it down. It swelled up, blue lines everywhere, a bruising, you know. Yeah, doctors are here. 7 weeks, you won't be able to walk. But I've got to go to Mozambique. Well, you can't. I mean, you have to cancel. I said, no, I won't. Whether this is here or not, I'm still going, because that's of more importance than what I'm feeling and what the natural dictates to me. You see, you're putting God's word first. People call you freaky. No, you're normal. They're freaky because they have no faith. And I'm being arrogant. It's just, hey, either you can't preach this if you don't live it. I've lived this, so I now preach it. And so guess what? I turned like this on this ankle. You know, imagine your bone's broken and you do this. I turned like that and I suddenly froze. And I said, what? I'm healed. My wife walks in. She says, of course you are, and carries on walking. She's like, okay. So here we go. Luke 13:10. And he was teaching. Okay, I should stop now, actually. He was teaching as one in the synagogue on the Sabbath. I want you to notice the word Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, small s, and she was bent double and could not straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you're freed from your sickness. And he said, laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again by glorifying God. I want to give you five points on how to minister to the sick. Then I'm going to apply the spiritual side. When Jesus saw her, number one, when Jesus saw her, how do you see sick people? It says when. When he saw her, he responded, he says, come. So you're out in the marketplace, winning souls to the Jesus, as a good Christian does. You know, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. If you want to have a ministry, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, if you want to be an apostle or a prophet, go and win souls, because that's what we all do. It's not find your ministry, then go and do the work. No, do the work. Why? Because it's about people. You want to have a ministry? Start winning souls, and you'll discover a ministry. Do the right thing first, and these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and these things shall be added. And so, when you see someone sick, you see them as Jesus sees them, and you bring them to Jesus. That's number two, because he called her over. I know you're not Jesus, but Jesus is with you. You're the best representative he has right there at that time when you see that person and you bring them over. And you say, well, I'm not the best in town for this. I don't know, but you are the best in his eyes, and all success to you. Just dare to do. He called over and said to a woman, you're freed of your sickness. Notice that prayer is a declaration. It's a declaration. You're declaring the kingdom of God over them. Woman, you are freed from your infirmity, from your sickness. It's a declaration. Christianity is done with the mouth. Salvation is done with the mouth. If you confess, not meditate, get in lotus position? When you confess, when you speak. So everything in the kingdom is done through your mouth. Worship is done through your mouth. So the whole thing about setting people free is by your mouth. Woman, you are freed from your sickness. Jesus called it sickness even when it was a sickness by a spirit, which is an infirm spirit, which is an unclean spirit. Now, please don't get freaky about the fact that if I'm sick, I've got a demon. No, no. But some sicknesses are caused by spirits. And that doesn't mean to say everyone who's sick has that. But in this case, she was captured by this. He laid his hands on her, number four, and immediately she was made erect and began to glorify God. Laid his hands on her, she stood up and was healed and glorified God. There's about four or five things in that. And I love the way that she glorified God, not Jesus. That person who's healed doesn't glorify you, glorifies the one you represent, Jesus. And so much ministry is self-centered. Well, if I pray for you, I know I'm the man of power for the hour. And not only me can touch you. No. That's why I so wanted to do the first night. You've got it. You lay hands on the sick. You're just as powerful according to this word. It's igniting you into that. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, there are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed on those days. So what these guys had done is they'd categorized physical healing as work. Jesus saw it as worship. That's why you always healed on the Sabbath. Today we don't have a Sabbath. We are in Sabbath the whole time, any day of the week, because he has set that in place. The year of Jubilee has set it in place. So we don't have to go and say, wait for Monday and do it as work. It's not work. Why work? Because that means you have to respond according to what's happening. In other words, if it's work, you have to labor at getting healed. And Jesus says, no. In worship, all you do is lift your hands and say, thank you. That's how you get healed. Many of us think, okay, I'm not good enough to be healed because maybe I've got this problem, that problem, this problem. No, whom you set free is free. He's the same yesterday, today. You got all these scriptures running down the path at you, and all you have to do is exalt him, and he does it. You know, Bartimaeus, he stood in front of Jesus. What do you want me to do for you that I may see, Lord? He was in the right place because when he opened his eyes, guess who he saw for the very first time? And it's that when we see Jesus in our healing, as the result of healing, guess what? He gets all the glory. It's not like saying, well, I hope now, Lord, you know, I don't know if it's right and you're looking left or right. No, it's front and center. Ought this woman to be healed on the Sabbath? But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites. Notice Jesus, he loves everyone, but not the religious. You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him to the water him? In other words, you hypocrites, you put your livestock above the value of humanity and you taking it to water, sneaking around the back in siesta hour, watering it and sneaking in back in, changing clothes and becoming a dignified priest again. And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, that is so powerful. A daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should not she have been released or untied, released from capture on the Sabbath? Just as you untie your ox, this woman needs to be untied. Guess what? The captive was set free in the scripture. Jesus set them free. The anointing is upon you to set the captives free, to set the prisoner free. Salvation, healing, and deliverance is right there. So you say, well, do I have a deliverance ministry? Absolutely. Do I have a specific deliverance ministry? No. All of us who are believers have a deliverance ministry. You deliver them out of bondage. You deliver them out of captivity into the freedom, into salvation, and free to walk in Christ. That's what Jesus did. The anointing is upon him to do so. And he turned around and said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. You go and do the same thing. Friends, untie Naamah. Untie those that are in captivity
of wrong thoughts, wrong life patterns, wrong belief systems. She's a daughter of Abraham. Abraham was alive 400 years before the law came in. What Abraham set up was faith. He's called the father of faith. Looking at the stars in the sky, this inheritance of faith, you are one of those stars. Because she's a daughter of Abraham, it's by faith that you're saved. Abraham brought in, the gospel was preached to Abraham. The gospel is preached to us now. And we believe the same way as Abraham. He was the first one. That's why they call him father of faith. By faith, you are saved. By faith, Abraham, you are saved by grace, Sarah. That's what her name means. And she has an Isaac. By faith. When they began to operate by faith through grace, by faith in what God says, through what God can do, you have perfect children. You have Isaacs. You have joy. That's what his name means. So isn't it interesting how the gospel is tied up all the way through? Bring joy to your city. That's why in Acts 8, they had great joy in that city as they were set free when the truth came. He went there and just untied people out of bondage. Amen? You got something in your hands today? You know what the gospel is about? Go and evangelize. Go and win souls. You know what you're doing now. That's what Jesus did. And the other thing is this. When prison doors are open, sometimes people don't want to walk out because they don't know how to behave in freedom. And if that's you, walk out. Get out of that cage. The door's open. It's been open a long time. We just need to walk out and say, thank you, Lord. He's at the door. Thank you, Lord. That's all you can say. And sometimes you'll say, thank you, Lord. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? 100%. That's 100% response to the gospel. How can I serve you? Set my people free, he says. Some of us are captive. We always want to remain captive because of the attention we get from others. Oh, shame. No, untie yourself. It's already untied. You just need to do this. And you're set free. And guess what? You don't need to keep going around the mountain saying, when I get, when I am, when will I be? No, you are. You are set free. And so right now in this room, there's a whole lot of ropes and chains falling to the ground. Locks being smashed. Combination locks, secretness, little combinations. No, there's nothing secret in the eyes of God. You are free. Would you just bow your heads a moment, please? Father, today as I have shared your truth, your word, you came to set captives free, to set the prisoners free. Lord, confirm your word with signs following, which is healing would manifest right now in every person. And that those of us who are in prison of wrong thinking and understanding about the truth of God, Lord, the door's open, let them come out, I pray. Salvation and healing be manifest in this room today, I pray in Jesus' name. No matter where we've come from, where they've come from, God, touch their hearts. Set them free by the power of your word. Now I want to ask some questions. Stay as you are. If there's anyone in this room who's come today because you want to become born again, you become invited here, it's not about what you're leaving behind, it's what you're going into, friends. And you say, yes, Keir, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus because I've heard truth. I want to be no longer a prisoner of where I'm at. I want to break out. Break through into something positive. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you in a few seconds to lift your hand because I have another question. If there's anyone in this room who has given their life to Jesus somewhere before in your youth, or your young age, in another church, in another place, but you have grown cold in your heart, cold, aloof from church, from God, from truth, from just coming back to the heart of wanting to worship God because of any circumstance or situation that might have happened, hurt, misunderstood. Listen, that's not the issue. The door's open. Prodigal son and daughter, come home to the Father today. Thirdly, if you're not sure, because you've been raised in a Christian environment all your life, you want to make sure today that you are born again, then you too, sir, ma'am, can lift your hand. So right now, in a response to any one of those three areas of saying, yes, that's me, would you just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I want to change. I want to get saved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. I'm going to ask you to do one thing more. Those of you who raised your hands, would you stand up in your seats? And if you, someone who brought your friend who's lifted their hand, would you stand with them? Please don't remain seated. Please stand up right now. Come on, stand up, stand up. This is the military side. Stand up now. Stand up. Yeah, come. You lifted your hand, did you? Yeah, don't hide. Those of you, come on, be bold. This is life and death. Now, would you come to the front? And I know that you could just come on down, because we're going to pray for you and make sure that you're right in that place, that the door's open, you're walking into that freedom, and because you've been there long enough. Thank you for responding that way. I'm also very much aware of that there are some here that are saved, that you're members of this church. But also, there's something that's happened in your hearts that set you free. The Word of God has touched you, strummed your heart with the rhythms of heaven, that you're sensing the sound of something fresh and anew in your life. Is there anyone else that would say, I just want to come up and reestablish in my life that I'm not passive anymore? I'm picking up a heavy caliber weapon in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any of you standing here with a friend that you brought? You all came by yourselves? Okay. If you brought a friend next to you, why don't you just ask that friend next to you? I'll come with you to the front if you want to go. If you brought a friend, you brought a guest, you invited them to church today, that's what you need to do right now. Say, I'll come with you to the front. You know, I really want to make sure that you're saved, guys. Thank you for responding. Now, let's just get this right, okay? I want you to say this after me, loud, out loud, confession. I know you may be saved already, but let's just reestablish this thing, getting back to the foundations of repentance from dead works, faith towards God. And the next thing that you need to do, if you're not water baptized, is you need to be water baptized within a week. Go do it. Ah, oh, but it's cold. Absolutely. That's what makes it so fun. We'll do it next Sunday. Hey, come on. You know what? People will be looking at you and think you're nuts when they're walking on their walks and their paths when you're doing it in a lake somewhere, is it?
No, we'll do it right here.
Right here. Pretty, you can do it on a lake, man. Break the ice. I'm committed. Like the Russian guys. Man. Yeah, they do. So let's say this. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I stand before you today. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. You are the Son of God. You were crucified. You bled. And you said, forgive them. They took you off the cross. Put you in a tomb, but you rose again, and you are alive in heaven. And I know that you know me today, because I give my life to you, my whole life, every part of me. And I choose to serve you as a son, daughter, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sin, for healing of disease. I am a new creature in you. All old things have passed away. And from today on, there are new things. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. I am free because of you. Because of your blood that you shed. For what you said on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I now confess that I am a Christian. I am born again. And I love Jesus. Amen. Would you turn to the person next to you, look them in the eye, take them by the hand and say, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. Mike, do you want to share anything? Do you want to talk? I'm going to pray for the sickness as well. I want to do a mass prayer for sickness as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful church. Kids going to pray. Well, let's say thank you, guys. Go and be seated. Give them a hug as they come back to where they are. Church, I want to pray for us too, and I include myself. You know, this is an amazing church, and one of the things that happens when we're in an incredible community, which is what God wants, it becomes self-fulfilling. We get our identity, we're filled, we feel good from here. But often, because of the things of the world, and we drift away, and we don't do what God has called us to do on a daily basis. And that could be for many reasons. Could be fear, it could be any of things like that. And I just felt God just to want to recommission us. You know, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be a witness. And I also felt in God that He says He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And when you step out of your boat and you're walking on water and you're going towards that person that God's asked you to speak to, all of these thoughts can come in of fear and what happened, make a fool of myself and that, and we back off. And we need to understand it. We have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And do you know the amazing thing about Peter walking on the water? Yes, he sank at the end as he took his eyes off Jesus, but he was the only disciple that ever got out the boat and knew what it was like to walk on water. And I don't see Jesus. Some of the disciples, the translations, the Lord rebuked him for his lack of faith. I more than like to. I see the smile on Jesus' face. He's actually laughing as Peter's going down. Help me, Lord. And he said, oh, Peter, you have little faith. Come with me. And he walks him back to the boat. And the other guys were more than like laughing their head off too. But I'm sure for the rest of their walk in this, I wonder what it was like to step out of my boat. Trust God. So if you could just stand for a moment, and Kia's then going to pray a prayer over you for the sick. But if you just want to feel just the presence of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, I sense in my heart this is a recommissioning. This is what gifts do. They equip us and commission us, and Kiel will speak more about that tonight. But this is a recommission for us. And if you'll just open your hearts, Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing, the anointing that is upon us, but for a fresh new rain down of your anointing upon us. Lord, we receive the power. We want to be big caliber Christians, Lord. We want to hear your voice and hit the mark. And those marks are all over us in our jobs. Our mission fields are where we work. So, Father, I pray for that anointing to come upon us. And, Pierre, just as I would love you just to pray to release that.
Amen. Yes. Lord, I just pray that the truth that we have received today becomes ours. It's embedded in our hearts, branded on the inside of our hearts, knowing that you're the one that sets us free. Lord, I pray your anointing, your power, your grace, that giftings would be activated in every single person's life in the direction of winning souls, that they become more and more evident as we exercise faith in that direction. And Lord, today as soldiers who stand before a commissioning officer, there is a declaration. Your mission is, soldiers, to go and do this. Do not return until it is completed. Lord, I pray that that would be ours into this area of Nanoma, to go and set captives free, to go and heal the brokenhearted by the words of our mouths and every opportunity that there is in front of us, whether in the marketplace or in the queues at or lines at the counters. Lord, seize the moment. I pray that there is the opportunity of seizing the moment. That hear your whispers, your nudgings, your gentle touch upon their lives, just to speak a word, because that word has explosive capability when it is reaching into the lives of people. And Lord, not only that we would carry a testimony of healing, And so, Lord, I speak healing, power of the anointing of God to heal the sick, to be upon every single sick person right now. Sickness, I address you as an ambassador sent from heaven with an authority of Ephesians 4:11 gifting. In that authority alone, which is delegated, I decree healing upon every single person. Sickness, you be under the judgment of the truth of the word of God right now. You be under the judgment and the authority of the blood of Jesus from the whipping post to the cross to where he said, it is finished. Sickness, you are finished. You be evicted out of every single person's body and life right now and set them free. You sent your word, Lord Jesus, and you have done that today. Therefore, the power of that word in them has explosive power, bringing revelation and truth to where sickness be terminated in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for touching every single person in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Church, as Kira was praying, and we'll finish with this. I just felt that evil word, depression, dark clouds over people. But as you declare his praises, church, you have authority. I just saw the light of God coming, the sun shining upon that darkness, and it just evaporating before you. And I felt the Lord say, when you're feeling like that, lift your eyes and worship me. Lift your eyes, come into your presence. I'm not saying go off your medication and unless God tells you to or you feel set free. But I am saying, I just see, you know, when we've had this dark mist over the city over the way, and that I just felt like that over some people. They can't see the sun. But you know, when the sun burns and burns and burns, it totally dissipates. And you've seen in the afternoons just the beautiful sunshine that is there. And that's what God is doing right now. So, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, let your light shine upon these hearts and minds in the mighty name of Jesus. And we break the power of the darkness by the name of Jesus. And we said, light, you are the light of the world, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that instead of looking at our circumstance and feeding it, we will lift our eyes to you and begin to worship you in spirit and in truth. We will put worship music on and we will sing those songs. Then sing, my soul, how great your love is. Lord, your glory and your mercy. And even now I can see those clouds lifting. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we release your presence, and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is going to break that darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare that in Jesus' name, be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive it and declare the word of God over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for that. And the church said, amen, 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 church.